Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. This is episode 236. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg, who it's been rumored has better pop times than Kyle Teal. Chris, can you confirm or deny that?
Probably deny, considering that, or deny that I actually do, because I don't. I've got a partially torn rotator cuff, so I doubt I could put the pop times up that he does. Just absolutely absurd what he does. So yeah, it's been fun to watch. He wasn't here long, but I've really appreciated the time that we've had here with Kyle Teal, Roman Anthony, who are now up your way.
Yeah, now I get to see them in the last homestand of the year, and probably that'll be it, because Portland has very minute chance of making the postseason. Unfortunately, with the new format, they were second in the division in the first half, but the tiebreaker, so the same team is the division winner for both the first and second half. It goes to the team with the second best record in the division in the second half, which is not us. We're five games out of second with only 2 weeks to go, so probably not, but I'll get them for a week. Good six games there. See how many of those I can get to, but that'll be fun. It'd be good to get a good feel for Teal up here in double A. Nice to see them at the end of the season. What do you think your pop time back in your heyday, Chris, what do you think you would have done for like a pop time?
I have no clue. Like, that's what, you know, it's like when people ask, like, what could you run in a 40? Everybody's like, oh, I could easily run a 4.940, but they don't realize how fast that actually is.
Right.
And then I don't know. I mean, I'd hope that I could do like 3, but I don't know. Like, I really have no idea. I'd love to try it and just see. And it's probably going to be way worse than I think.
Dude, that's right. I was really going to ask over under 3. That's kind of like where I was thinking too.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to have like a skills competition out at FPAS. Like,
dude, that would be fun.
Like, just all the stuff, like pop times, you know, sprint. I don't know if any of us want to sprint, or I don't think many of us want to sprint, but do something fun out there. And then we were talking about doing like a wiffle ball game. You know, there's always a golf outing that the Bloomfield does. Let's talk maybe doing like a home run derby or something like that. Be a lot of fun stuff going on at FPAS. Yeah. If you're listening and you're kind of on the fence, again, I know it's a time commitment, it's a travel. Like for me, it's, you know, both Chris and I, it's cross country. You know, there's money that goes into it, but it's such a good time just talking baseball, watching baseball, and, you know, interacting with everybody in the industry. So if you can swing it, definitely recommend 110%. Baseball HQ puts on a phenomenal conference every single year. So yeah, highly recommended. All right. We're talking a lot of pitching today in this episode because it's a lot of just intriguing arms in the news that are, you know, creating a lot of buzz right now. Most good. Some of these names will be kind of for the other reasons, bad reasons, but I figured we do a pitching themed episode here today. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty, Prospect, and FYPD rankings, plus daily write-ups and much more. But let's get right into it, Chris, starting with guy that just went, actually two of these arms just went earlier today. We will start with Cole Reagans, who pitched another 6 shutout innings. And it's just been, it's crazy that this is a guy that was, yeah, I won't say not on the radar because he at least was on the radar, but not really thought of much, at least not in high regard when he was with Texas. And then he goes to Kansas City and he's turned into, like, he's probably been like a top 10 pitcher overall since he went to Kansas City. You look at in 8 starts with the Royals. I think he's had a quality start in, I think, 6 of those 8 starts. And overall, 47 2/3 innings with the Royals, 1.51 ERA, 0.96 whip, 6% walk rate, and a 34.2% strikeout rate. How high up your rankings is he shooting, Chris? Like, my last update for my Dynasty rankings was, like, I think, like, 2 starts into this stretch. So he wasn't even – I didn't have him in the 500 then. I maybe should have probably put him in, like, the back end at least at that point in time. But now it's like, I don't think I've ever had someone go from not on the list 1 month to maybe like top 100 the next month. It's just crazy. But where are you thinking about ranking him at this point?
I updated the Dynasty side last week. I had him around 150.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if that's still too low because he keeps dominating. And I think that if this continues the rest of the year, he's going to be a top 50 pick next year, which I'm not sure I can buy into completely, but I see why, because it's just absurd what he's been doing this year. And since he moved to Kansas City, and the more bizarre thing is that Kansas City has been terrible with pitcher development, and Cole Reagans goes there and is all of a sudden just insane. I'm so confused with what's happened and how they looked and were like, hey, you need a slider. And the slider has just become, you know, one of his best pitches. And really, that's been the biggest difference is he added the slider. His four-seam velo ticked up, which is interesting. But at the same time, like, I'm just shocked he did this at Kansas City, in my opinion. If you're a Royals fan, like, you know, this is no offense to you at all, but your pitching development just hasn't been good at all. And so it's been really fun. I'm sure this is really exciting for Royals fans to see what Cole Reagans has done. I mean, the fastball, you know, today it was sitting 97, if I'm not mistaken. It was up again today. And last month he averaged like 96.5. I'm going to come up and confirm what Reagans was sitting today as we record. He said 97 today. The average this year has been 96.4. So he touched 99.7. The slider looked really good. Once again, he dominated hitters with it, but he missed so many bats with the fastball. I mean, the slider whiff rate was 56%. The fastball whiff rate of 35% is awesome. And you just love to see it. So I think that you can probably make an argument for Cole Reagans being a top 100 dynasty asset at this point. But again, like, I kind of want to not go that far in yet, because let's look at the starts that he's made and who they're against. White Sox, Pirates, A's, Cubs, and the Cubs hit him for three earned in 16, which he still struck out nine, so it's fine. The Cardinals have not been good, but they tagged him for three earned over five innings. And the Red Sox and the Mets. And also the Rays. That's who he's faced since he joined the Royals. And so, I don't know. I'm interested. And this hot stretch has been against a lot of teams that just aren't great. So, I like Cole Reagans a lot, but I'm scared that the hype's going to just go way out of control.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. Right now, I do have him around 110, but I thought long and hard about that because, yeah, the competition hasn't been stellar, but at the same time, like, he just looks so good. And it's kind of odd, too. You look at his splits, you know, against at least the pitch mix, excuse me, righties and lefties. And, you know, most lefties, you know, against, he's only throwing really fastball, slider there. But against righties, he goes all five of his pitches, which is really good to see. You know, the three most used pitches, obviously, are fastball, changeup, slider. And he throws some curveball and cutter, you know, 12%, 10%. So really five pitches he can attack with there. And changeup and slider both had a whiff rate above 41% last month. And really, like, his strikeouts in the month of August were, you know, pretty split between the four-seam changeup and slider, 16 on the four-seamer, 15 on the changeup, and 19 on the slider. And then he goes, you know, four-seam up, changeup, you know, and slider down. You know, really, command has been looking pretty damn good right now for Cole Reagans. Really love to see it. Limiting hard contact as well. And really doing everything you could want from him. You know, ground ball rate is not, you know, it's decent. I think it's right around league average. So, yeah, you know, a lot of good stuff from Cole Reagans for sure. So, I think, yeah, if he continues this and has another four or five really good starts to end the year, it's going to be really intriguing in 2024 drafts to see, you know, where does this guy go? And because it could be easily top 50. And I won't be taking him top 50, even though I'm mostly a believer in what he's done. But yeah, I think top 100 end of the year is pretty fair. And he's almost there for me now. So next arm also went today and had eight shutout innings with 12 strikeouts. I mean, this guy is not a pop-up name like Cole Reagans per se, but still feels pretty underrated, even though, you know, after today's start, he now has the fifth best ERA of pitchers with at least 200 innings since the start of 2022. I think he was behind, off the top of my head, it was not in any order. It was Freed, Ohtani, Verlander, and let's see how I tweeted this out. Hold on 1 second. Kershaw. Kershaw was number one. Yeah, it was Kershaw, Verlander, Freed, Ohtani, and then Justin Steele in the five spot here. And I, you know, I tweeted about him earlier today or on Monday as well. And then somebody replied, like, are you concerned that he is pretty much a two-pitch guy? Because four-seam slider is 96.8% of his usage rate this year. That's even up from last year when it was about 87.5% combined. And in general, yeah, I'm always concerned by two-pitch guys, but at the same time, he's made this work for 2 years now. So what's the, you know, why should we doubt it? You know, like, again, usually I do, but four-seam slider's been really good. You know, he's not like an elite whiff rate guy, elite K rate guy. He's been right around 24% basically every year of his career so far. But ERA has been low, 3.18 last year, 2.69 this year. Limits hard contact well. You know, doesn't walk a ton of guys. Trimmed the walk rate from 9.8 to 5.2% this year. A lot of good here, Chris. So is he a top 100 guy for you?
Yeah, he's, I mean, again, what's the difference in him and Max Fried at this point? I don't care what he's throwing. Like, I'm not concerned about two pitches at this point when we're looking at a 2 year sample of how good he's been. I mean, to me, this is crazy. Like, he's the most underrated pitcher in the game. So he had a couple rough starts to start 2022. So I jumped to the beginning of June 2022. He now has 40 starts since the beginning of June. He has a 2.37 ERA over that span. 2.37, and he has more strikeouts than he's pitched. So, I mean, he's about a strikeout per inning guy, but now he's up to 233 strikeouts to 231 innings. He doesn't walk batters at all, and he keeps the ball on the ground. Like, it's the combo of what you want to see. And there's no absurd, like, low BABIP. He's actually running a BABIP well above league average, which is interesting. His strand rate is a little high, but the dude just gets the job done consistently. And I don't think you can ignore him anymore. I think he's the most underrated pitcher in the game. And I'm pretty in on him. Like, you need this type of arm in a dynasty league like Justin Steele because he provides such a high floor. And he's not a zero in strikeouts. He's going to give you a good whip and obviously good ERA too. So this, to me, I don't need to see much else. He's improved the command so much this year. His walk rate is literally cut in half from 9.8% down to 5.2%. He's throwing so many more strikes. Like, these are signs of tangible improvements. And we're talking about somebody who's just 28 years old. He just turned 28. And it's not uncommon to see pitchers, you know, really come into their own at this age. And actually, I had to argue that most pitchers, this is when they really begin to develop at this age. It takes most pitchers a while to get to this point.
Yep.
But here we are, and Justin Steele looks like I'm not going to say he's an ace, but he's a true SP2 type. He doesn't have the strikeouts to be an ace, but he has the ratios and enough swing and miss to be a SP2 type. And that's so valuable, and I think he's just so much – he's not valued anywhere near that at this point. And so you can get him for so cheap. And I'd be just absolutely thrilled to do that.
So would you take Steele over Reagans right now?
I would. I'm more confident in a sample of 40 starts over, and then even more over 2 years than eight-start stretch from Reagans.
Yeah, for sure. I'm right there with you. But I think both are – obviously, Reagans right now isn't undervalued, just given that he's like the talk of Twitter or X or whatever the heck we call it these days. But Steele is like, he doesn't get talked about enough. Like, he should be right there in the Cy Young vote, National League Cy Young voting. It'll probably go to Strider because, you know, of all the strikeouts, and he's a bigger name. But I think he should be at least like a finalist, unless something drastic happens the last month of the season. He absolutely should be one of the top three finalists for National League Cy Young.
I think he might.
Yeah.
There's a real case for that.
It's probably Strider, Snell, and maybe. I'm trying to think. Gallen. Maybe
Allen's probably in there. Yeah.
Yeah. He's gotta be at least like top five. Like if he's not at least top five bare minimum, you know, assuming he doesn't have a bad final, five, six starts or so, that'd be an absolute travesty. But
yeah.
Moving back over to the American League here with Kyle Bradish, who is just quietly going about his business this year. It's a 3.03 ERA in 25 starts. But if you look at over his last 14 starts dating back to mid-June, he has a 2.28 ERA and a whip under one and right around a K per inning. And another tangible change here. That's what we always like to look for. Like, why has the performance gotten better? Like, look at right away, he's throwing more sinkers this year, less four-seamers. And that's huge because his four-seamer this year has not been good. 388 batting average against, 647 slug. But the usage rate has almost been cut in half from 44.5% to 23.8%. Sinker, which was rarely used last year, only 4.5%, is now approaching 20% usage rate this year at 19.7%. Slider is leading the way at 30%, and that's been a very good pitch for him. So, another tangible change there for Kyle Bradish, and he's morphing into, maybe he's SP2, but I think I can safely say at least SP3 territory, and maybe SP2 is in his future as well. What are your thoughts right now on Kyle Bradish?
Yeah, I remember really digging into the profile last year. I actually discussed him at First Pitch Arizona on the Deep League starting pitching panel, and it was like, okay, the numbers are bad, but like he had a 4.9 ERA last year, but in the second half, he was like sub 3, and he had good strikeouts. And then this year, I'm not surprised to see him have taken the step. And like you said, I wish more teams would do I wish more pitching development and coordinators would look at it and say, hey, the four seam sucks, just cut it. Like,
right.
You know, like you mentioned, he's really dropped the usage and it's been a big thing for him. Like, that's been extremely helpful. And I'd rather pitch to weak contact with a sinker than allow a four seam to get obliterated trying to miss bats. But the nice thing is he's got a good slider as well. The slider has been his most used pitch over the months of May through August. And so that's certainly encouraging too. He's got a solid curve, the changeup. Like he's got a great mix of pitches, which certainly helps your case. Like the four seam can be meh when you have other pitches to go off of it. The slider's pretty devastating. It has a 36.5% whiff rate. The curveball has a 34.2% whiff rate on it as well. So Kyle Bradish, I think, is just, he's legit. And we've really seen him come on as of late and just be even more dominant. Like he's continued to perform. He's very similar to Justin Steele in a way where, you know, near strikeout an inning, low whip, good ratios, even though Steele's ratios have been a good bit better. I think that that is important to note here. But you look at what he's done over month to month, and it was a bad April. And I was kind of nervous. I remember I talked about him. I'm like, crap, dude, he's got a 6.4 ERA in April. Like, this ain't good. And then it dropped to 2.76 in May, 3.54 in June, 2.25 in July, 2.12 in August, 3.00 in this month. So that's only been one start this month, but still pretty solid. So, yeah, I mean, he's just been consistent outside of April and looked really, really good. And it's interesting because he used the four seam a lot in April. And then after that, you can look at the chart and it's just kind of gone, which is interesting to see for sure.
Yeah, I think with him, you know, Grayson Rodriguez really, you know, turning into an ace as well. You know, they just need that one other arm in their, you know, rotation, like that big arm to kind of complement those. And, you know, Flaherty wasn't it. You know, maybe if they acquired 2019 Flaherty, it would have been it. But yeah, I think they're just one big arm away from just being annual powerhouse, and they are, you know, you already could put them in that territory as well. So yeah, Bradish looking really good right now. A couple more pitchers, obviously a lot more pitchers here, but Freddy Peralta is, you know, probably one of the more, I mean, he's been fairly inconsistent for his career. There'll be times when he, you know, the ERA jumps to like mid fours for a month, but then he'll go on like this 2 month stretch where he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And that's where he's at now. Cause if you look at since, let's see, July 26th, this is a span of his last seven starts, 42 innings. He's got a 1.71 ERA and 69 strikeouts to just 10 walks. Now that is a K minus BB rate of 37.8% over the span for at least, see, pitchers with at least 30 innings pitched. He's first by a country mile. Second is actually Cole Reagans at 30.3%, so 7.5% back. And that's another 4.5% drop down to Nick Pivetta. So in who's actually fallen off lately, but so that's 12% better than third place, which is absolutely ridiculous. But you know, Freddy Peralta, obviously he was drafted as a, actually, yeah, there was that 1 year he was drafted as an like a back end ace, but you know, ERA was 3.58 last year, and it's even 3.85 overall this year. But you know, ERA indicators are all kind of about a half run lower or so. I think he has the best strikeout minus walk rate of the last handful of years. He was keeping the walk rate in check and dropping it lately, which is very encouraging. So it's looking like Freddy Peralta is back to being, you know, ace level Freddy Peralta. But Chris, are you able to trust him as an ace moving forward? Like, are you buying that, all right, this is who he's going to be moving forward, an ace type arm, or would you maybe look to sell high this offseason?
I don't know. I mean, it's been a complete tale of two halves for Freddy Peralta. I mean, first half, 92 innings, he had a 4.70 ERA. Like, by no means is there anything good about that. And so that's obviously a major concern when you look back and you see that. And honestly, none of the peripherals even gave much hope either. He had a 4.60 FIP and a 4.13 XFIP, which is a little better, but still. He was not good in the first half. And then the second half has just been a totally different story. On just 53 innings, you've mentioned the numbers, Freddy Peralta has looked like an ace. And the significant difference that I'm finding is that he's using the slider less the four seam more and the changeup more, which is kind of interesting to follow and see. Like, okay, like, is a changeup, the changeup's getting whiffs and it looks like it's really paying off, but it's just interesting to see the progression of the slider being used less and the four seam being used more. It's a bit interesting for me to see. I don't know. Four-seam velo it's held pretty steady all year. Last start, it was down half a tick, but I'm not really looking too much into that. But overall, I mean, you look, and he's got four pitches with a whiff rate above 30%, and that's for the season. Like, that's the entire year. And that's even with a pretty bad first half. The four-seam whiff rate is 30.2, and everything else is way above. The slider is 46.7. So I'm confused why Peralta would use it less, because I think it's a crazy good pitch. But if he can use it less and still get the results, then whatever. Like, I'm good with it. And he's a true and pretty true four-pitch guy. I mean, you look, and he's throwing the slider, obviously, less to lefties. And he's throwing the changeup and curve, not as much to righties. But I'd argue that it's still a four-pitch mix here. And the results have been good. So I guess my question is, like, is the second half sustainable? And I would say yes, but I'm hesitant to, like, just fault him so high that it gets out of control. And I think that some may. I think some may push him to that SP1 status. And I don't know. I'm not quite sold, even though I really like what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I have him in, like, strong SP2 territory right now. And I think, you know, he's shown that more than once. It's not like this isn't like the first time he's shown that level. Obviously, he showed that a couple of years ago. So yeah, I'm happy and I feel, you know, okay putting him in that SP2 territory. But I want to see, you know, if he finishes the year like this and even starts next year like this, all right, you know, a little bit longer, sample size, I think we can put him in that territory. Yeah. But it puts so many good arms right now. It's like, it's nothing against Freddy Peralta not to, like, not put him there. Just so many good arms at the top. So it's hard to break into that SP1 territory. It really is. But another arm that's moving into another kind of moving into this SP2 territory over the last month or probably 2 months now, Kodai Senga. You know, obviously a lot of hype on him coming over from, you know, Japan this offseason. You know, the ghost fork, you know, the pitch with the cool name, the dominant results over in Japan. And, you know, there were some growing pains to start his major league career, as to be expected. You know, different country, different baseball, you know, different culture, everything about that, kind of learning how to, you know, excel in a new league entirely in a new country. So walk rate obviously was pretty high. I mean, you know, I think we're talking like 13-14% over the first couple of months. But if you look since June 28th, which is a span of his last, 11 starts, he has, I just lost it. Where'd he go? All right, there. So he has a 2.57 ERA, 1.10 whip, only an 8.2% walk rate, and a 30.9% strikeout rate. His K minus walk rate over this span for pitchers with at least 40 innings pitched is 12th. Behind Freddy Peralta, Strider, Pivetta, Joe Ryan, Reagans, Wheeler, Glasnow, Gausman, Skubal, Eflin, and Kirby. So a lot of good names there. And he's right ahead of Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, Pablo Lopez, Logan Webb, Aaron Nola, Luis Castillo. So he's right in the thick of things there with a lot of talented arms. So where do you value him? Is he a top 100 guy? I mean, he's a little bit older. He's already 30, obviously. It's not like he's 26 or anything, but is he a guy that you also have in that, you know, top 100 overall SP2 range in your rankings, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's a fair spot for him at this point, considering what he's done. I mean, you mentioned the results. Last 18 starts, that's a 106-inning sample, and he's got 2.70 ERA. And he's got 133 Ks over that span, which is really dominant. He's pitched like an ace. He gets the results. He's limited the walks more as the season's going on. I think that he's settling in. This is a big move for a pitcher to move over from overseas. And Kodai Senga did that. And the hype was insane. And then it was like, okay, like in spring training, like he was like, he's overhyped. Like he sucks now, blah, blah, blah. He's not going to be as good as everybody thought. And then he's come back and just looked really, really good. So yeah, I'd say that you could argue that Kodai Senga definitely deserves to be top 100 and in SP2 range for dynasty leagues.
All right. So out of the, how many names we talked so far? 1, 2, 3. So the 5 names we've talked so far, Cole Reagans, Justin Steele, Kyle Bradish, Freddie Peralta, Kodai Senga. I think Peralta's probably first, but take Reagan, Steele, Bradish, Senga. Rank those 4 dynasty, Chris.
Yeah, so definitely first for Peralta. Then I'd go Senga, Steele, Reagans, and Bradish.
I think, I'm trying to think here. Yeah, Freddie Peralta's definitely number 1 for me. Yeah, Peralta, Steele, and Senga are really close for me. I'll have to see where I have them, but I think I'm going to say Steele, Senga, Reagans, Bradish. Is that your order as well?
I'd Senga first of that group.
Okay, so yes, you had Senga. Yeah, Senga and Steele are really close for me. But yeah, I'm believing in all these arms here for sure. What they've shown, you know, tangible changes. So yeah, definitely a believer in all these arms. We'll see how they, you know, I don't have any, and I have 1 share of Reagans. 1 or 2 of Steele. So I think I have a couple of shares of all of these guys. Actually, I don't think I have any of Senga, actually. I think he went too high in every draft this past offseason. But, all right, a lot of good names there. We got a lot more to go, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a lot more intriguing arms. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Welcome back from the break. Let's go over to Cincinnati now. And obviously, a lot of the talk for the last couple of years, obviously, Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, earlier this year, Andrew Abbott. And they still got some good pitching prospects that have kind of debuted here and there. But one that has kind of flown under the radar has been Brandon Williamson. I mean, he was a former, I won't say top pitching prospect, but he was highly regarded. Went back in the Seattle system even early on in his tenure in Cincinnati after he came over there via trade. But really the last year plus has not gone, at least in the minor leagues, did not go great for Williamson. But over his last, you know, and he started out kind of up and down in the majors after debuting in middle of May. But really over the last, month and a half or so, he's been pretty damn good. 9 starts, 52 innings. 3.29 ERA. He's got a whip right above 1, right under a strikeout per inning. 2.32 batting average against, and only allowing a 160 ISO. And he's always had good stuff. Like, he was really lauded for his great arsenal coming up as a prospect. Just was very inconsistent with it. And right now, he's already got the 1. Like, the changeup's a 40.5% whiff rate this year. You know, 4-seamer. Yeah, 36.5% usage rate, cutter right under 30%, and then changeup, sweeper. So he only has like the 1 big whiff rate pitch, but his strikeouts are pretty spread out between the 4-seamer, cutter, changeup, and sweeper. Also mixes in a curveball 7% of the time and the occasional slider. But I don't know, like, I don't fully buy into what he's doing. Like, the chase rate isn't super high, neither is the whiff rate. All the ERA indicators are, you know, half run to a full run higher than where he's at. Doesn't get a lot of ground balls either. You know, fly ball and line drive rates are both higher than league average, which obviously in Great American Ballpark is not ideal. So this is like the first one we talked about this episode where, you know, while I think he could still be a serviceable arm, I'm not buying him at the level he's shown here lately, Chris.
I'm not either. I think if you can sell him, I would. I don't have any hard evidence, but I think that he was a big sticky stuff guy because after the crackdown, his spin rates dropped so much and the minor league results kind of flew out the window. So that's kind of my pure speculation. His BABIP's really low this year, which is you know, you look at Great American Ballpark and you would just guess the Babbitts would run a little higher there than a 271. So you likely see some, you know, regression towards the means there. And the K rate, not there. I mean, his walk rate surprisingly way down from what it's been. It's back to like sticky stuff levels, which is kind of interesting to see. But, you know, I'm just not in on this profile at all. You mentioned the ERA indicators not being good. The pitch mix is fine, but it doesn't really get the results with them. And the changeup's got good results, but really that's it. And so I'm not really in. I don't have too much else to say, but I'm not in on Brandon Williamson.
Yeah, I'm not either. I think he could be, you know, maybe a back-end top 100 arm, maybe. But yeah, definitely I think perceived value is higher than the actual value here. And he's just not an arm I'm looking to invest in that much moving forward. And the same can be said for this next guy who is there a more puzzling and then this more difficult pitcher to figure out, Chris, than Michael Kopech. I mean, look at earlier in the year, he had a stretch basically in May and then like the first half of June where he dropped his ERA from 7.01 to 3.92 over a span of 9 starts. And then since then, in his last 12 starts, he has an ERA of 7.17 and 50 walks to 40 strikeouts in 47 and two-thirds innings and 13 home runs allowed. It's just insane like how you can be so good and then all of a sudden the switch flips and you're so bad all of a sudden. I mean, he's always been one that I've been, and obviously I love him as a prospect, and obviously the stuff was always great, but I don't think there's been any more inconsistent arm than Michael Kopech in terms of production, you know, start to start month to month. So, I mean, do you have any hope for Kopech kind of turning things around and being a fantasy viable arm, or are you kind of 2 feet out the door at this point?
Well, I do have some hope because I spent some time with a White Sox scout this week. He was down here for the week in Greenville and went to lunch with him one day. We talked a lot about ball, the Sox and all that stuff. And they've been doing, and he works for the White Sox and was literally the first to admit that their pitching development has been terrible. And so I think that there's a chance with the new regime that he could rebound. I mean, they've taken pitchers who shouldn't be throwing certain pitch types and forcing them to throw pitch types that just don't work. So I ultimately think that maybe Kopech's never like a great arm, but I think he could get back to serviceable range for sure. His pitch mix just is so weird. You kind of look at it year over year and it's just bizarre to kind of watch. Like they've just been tinkering with it. And, you know, you look at release points and it's been tinkered with too. And it's weird to kind of see who Michael Kopech has become. And I ultimately think that he could rebound. I think it's very plausible that he could bounce back. I don't think he's ever going to be like a stud, but I think he could be a serviceable fantasy starter, but it is going to take some work. I will firmly tell you that it's going to take a lot of work for Michael Kopech to bounce back to levels where you actually want him on a fantasy roster. But I do think that this offseason, I was told this offseason, there's going to be a lot of changes with what they're doing. And hopefully we see those results.
I mean, I think you just surprised zero White Sox fans with, you know, what you just said about how they develop. Like, I'm sure like even our buddy Mike Carter would be like, yep, yeah, that's totally, totally right. He's a White Sox fan. So, yeah, I'm kind of wondering if there's going to be a lot of rebounds for this team, because with how much talent was on this team and have things go so wrong, just top to bottom, it's just ridiculous. And luckily, you know, Lisa Roberts had a really good year. You know, he's nursing a little bit of, I think it's a quad injury right now, of course, but you know, he's on pace for almost 40-20, which is great to see. But outside of that, it's been like Tim Anderson fell off a cliff. Eloy can't stay healthy. You know, Kopech had his issues. You know, the list goes on and on. So hopefully we can see a lot of these guys bounce back in 2024. Are you kind of feeling the same thing? I know he's not on our list here, and we thought about putting him on. Dylan Cease, who went from being a Cy Young contender last year with a 2.20 ERA and 20% K-minus BB rate to a guy with an ERA pushing 5 right now at 4.92, K rate dropped, you know, still 26.5%, but are you buying a, and this will bounce back, maybe not to, you know, 2022 levels, but do you think there's a bounce back coming from Dylan Cease for 2024?
I think it's possible. I at least hope for more consistency. He's always been very volatile his whole career, but I'm hoping we'll see a bit more consistency from him. And if that's the case, then I don't need him to be like super elite. I just need consistency out of him. And I think that's a real possibility.
Yeah, I think so too. Even if he just get to like, you know, mid threes ERA with like a, you know, high 20% K rate, you know, put him back in that SP3 territory. I think that'll be fair. And I absolutely think that he can get to that level as well. Now switching over to a former White Sox, current Red Sox, Chris Sale. He just, you know, as a Red Sox fans watching him every start, he doesn't look like Chris Sale anymore. I mean, he's 34 years old, so I guess that's easy to say. You know, he's not going to be the same as he was when he was 28, 29. And he is coming off 5 shutout innings last start, but at the same time, his velocity was down a couple miles an hour across the board, though he hit 97 on his last pitch. So maybe, I don't know if that was by design or not, but he just doesn't have the feel of being like a guy that you build your rotation around anymore. And I think he's more like SP4, SP5 territory. You know, the four seam is at 94.2 this year on average. That's down 0.7 from last year. You know, the slider is still pretty good as it always has been in on the mid to upper 70s. But, you know, outside of that, changeup and sinker, though he doesn't go to them too much, right around 20% combined, which is actually down a good amount from last year. Even though last year was a very small sample size, but those two pitches have not been good for him this year. So I don't know. He just doesn't, I don't know where to value him. He's getting older now. The production has not been great. I mean, this year, so striking out better, 29% of the time, 4.46 ERA, you know, xERA is 3.71, but giving it more hard contact this year, more barrels. So I don't know. I think he's a guy that's just going to slowly kind of fizzle out here, so to speak. And I don't know. Where do you have Chris Sale? He's, you know, I'll take my Red Sox goggles off here for a second, but where do you value Chris Sale at this point?
Dude, I wish I had a good answer.
I know it's hard, isn't it?
I don't know what to do with Chris Sale. And it depends on where your team is, I think, that is how you look at him. So if you're contending and you need arms, like I could see a reason to kind of take a chance on him because I think the value's a bit depleted. But I would take a chance with pretty tempered expectations. I mean, we're talking about somebody will be 35 next year who hasn't shown good health. On the positive, it will be a contract year for him. So it's going to be a big year for him next year. He has a club option for 2025. So he should have some pressure to perform next year. And we typically see guys stay healthy. We saw Carlos Rodon has stayed healthy in both of his contract years, which is pretty wild. He hasn't right. stayed healthy any other time. But maybe Sale can stay healthy next year during the contract year and put together a pretty solid season. So we have seen some inconsistencies from him this year. But you go back and you look, and he had a pretty bumpy first month of the year. But if we go back and we look since May, his last 11 starts, I mean, he's at a 3.02 ERA, and that's with a 3.09 FIP, which is encouraging. You're looking at a pretty solid strikeout rate of 30% and a 5.5% walk rate. So, like, those are things that you can't ignore. And obviously, there's been some missed time there. He missed, you know, over 2 months between June and August. I don't know. I think it's worth taking a shot on in a dynasty league, but knowing that there's potential that he could blow up at any moment and just not have any use, which is, I think, a pretty large concern, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. And there's always the concern that he's just not going to pitch for you as well, yeah. Because so after, see, 8 years of at least 25 starts between 2012 and 2019, and obviously he missed the entire shortened 2020 year. Since then, 9 starts in 2021, 2 last year, and 16 so far this year. So that's 27 starts combined over the last, well, really the last 4 years, if you include 2020. So it's, yeah, it's not encouraging. And inconsistent performance. Like, he looks so dominant one start and then looks like crap the next start. And the durability is always, you know, always scares you away a bit. So he's just not one I'm going to have. I mean, even if I'm a contending team, I still think the perceived value on him, just because of the name and previous production, will probably be too high of a price for me to want to pay. So I don't know. I'm kind of not out on Chris Sale, obviously, but don't really have a lot of interest at his current value. Let's say that. Another struggling arm here this year, Christian Javier, who kind of broke out to be one of the better pitchers in baseball last year, had a 2.54 ERA, 33.2% K rate. You know, he was like in the top 5% of many categories last year: XBA, XLOG, WOBA, XWOBA, all of that, XERA, all of that. But this year has really fallen off a cliff. The K rate, after being above 30% in 2021 and 2022, has plummeted to 21.7%, which is below league average. Our league average is right around 22%. ERA is up to 4.65. XERA is right in line with that. You know, we look at across the board a lot of his metrics, and yeah, they're all slightly worse for the most part, but not drastically. It's like, you know, 3% here, 4% there, 2% there. You know, zone contact up to 80.8, which isn't terrible. Whiff rate down about 4% to 26.2. So it's kind of odd that he's kind of fallen off a cliff this much. But are you, would you be buying Javier this offseason, Chris, as a bounce back? He's still only 26. Obviously, it has shown the good stuff, especially with that four-seamer and slider, which have still been pretty decent pitches for him this year. 246 batting average against on the four-seam, 214 on the slider. So like, the metrics haven't been terrible, and definitely don't look like the metrics for a guy that has a mid-4 ERA. So I think I would be okay buying low. I'm not expecting him to bounce back to 2022 levels, but again, kind of like in that seats range where if he can be like a mid-3 ERA guy with a K rate above 25%, I think that's a fair expectation for him. So I would be willing to buy low, but how about you?
Yeah, I think it's a good time to buy in the off season. You look at what he's done, and I think historically you can kind of see a bounce back happening. I think there's some fatigue here. Ultimately, I mean, you do see the velo drop off. His is only one start this month, but the fastball down to 91.9 in his last start on average. That's not good at all. I mean, he was 93, which is also down a tick. I think that's worth noting, is that we have seen the Arsenal kind of be up and down throughout his career, and especially this year too. I mean, you look in the fastball over the years, it was 93.5 in 2021, it was 93.8 in 2022, 92.7 on average this year, and I mentioned even down even more in his most recent start. I do believe in fatigue here. I think that, you know, a good offseason, and we don't know how the pitch clock's affecting these guys too, which is worth talking about, I'd say. So it's possible the pitch clock is affecting him, and there's been more fatigue. So I don't know. I don't know what to make, but I know that he's better than this, and I think we're going to see some results and a bounce back in 2024. So Christian Javier is a buy for me.
Yep, same here. Two more names on the list here, starting with Michael King, who obviously has been one of the better relievers in baseball the last handful of years, but recently has kind of moved into a starting role for the Yankees. Over his last two starts, has moved in the rotation and only allowed one earned run combined over 9 innings. So looking pretty good so far. So, Chris, do you, I guess, A, do you believe this is a move that's going to stick moving forward, or kind of more so just a stopgap until, you know, guys like Chase Hampton, Drew Thorpe, who are probably both ready by the All-Star break next year, until some of those arms come up? So I guess do you believe this is a long-term move that's going to stick? And if so, do you think the value is going to shoot up here with King being a rotation arm now?
I don't know. It's weird to think about. Like, I mean, yeah, he would certainly have more value if he can be a viable starter. And we've seen the value in the bullpen. I just have a hard time thinking that he can be a sustainable starter long-term. I mean, we haven't seen him in that in quite a while. I mean, he started six games in 2021, four back in 2020, but he's pretty much been a reliever for the last couple of years. And I think that it's just hard for me to see this move really working, even though, as you mentioned, like, he's been effective. Like, the last two starts, he's gone four innings and five innings, and he's only allowed one earned in both, and strikeout per inning. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to see where it'll go, but I am pretty curious to see, like, how does this affect the arsenal? Because you pitch a lot differently when you pitch out of the bullpen than you would in a rotation. So at the end of the day, like, I'm not sure I've seen enough yet to be kind of confident in what he'll do. But I will say, like, in the most recent start, like, or when he's been in a starting role, he's been throwing the sinker so much more, which probably limits strikeout upside. And he's been using the secondaries a bit less, which is kind of interesting. So it'll be, again, small sample. We need to follow more with Michael King, but it'll be something to follow.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. There's definitely some intrigue here because the stuff's always been pretty good. Again, he's been one of the better relievers in baseball the last few years. So definitely something I'm keeping an eye on here and see if it sticks moving forward. I want to see, like, you know, when, like, January, February rolls around, like, are they still, like, kind of using him as a starter when spring training gets going? That'll be kind of the key there. Who do they bring in the offseason? You know, the Yankees, you never know. So definitely some intrigue here. Definitely something to keep an eye on, and a decent little addition down the stretch if he's still available in your league. But let's close out the show with a guy that's coming back from multiple years off here after his second Tommy John, but made his first rehab outing the other night, and that's Walker Buehler. And the last time he pitched in the major leagues was 2022, where he had a 4.01 ERA over 12 starts before having to leave in the injury. Obviously, had the dominant 2021, where he had 207 and two-thirds innings pitched, 2.47 ERA, 212 strikeouts. 2019, he had over, you know, 200 strikeouts again with an ERA of 3.26. But, you know, the K rate was coming down in 2022 before the injury. The velo was coming down. How much of that had to do with maybe an injury that was kind of getting worse and worse? It's hard to say, but with him, you know, nearing a return over the next maybe few weeks, Chris, obviously he's not going to have much of an impact this year. If they bring him back, it's, you know, if they bring him back as a starter, which they might need to after the recent Julio Urias news, you know, I don't know how much impact he has or how much he pitches, but he's still, let's see, how old is he? 29 years old. So still not too old. Do you have any faith that he can bounce back to be, you know, I'll even say a top 40 arm? Do you think that future is still there for Buehler, or are you a bit more concerned just because of what we saw pre-injury and the fact that he's coming off his second Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly worries with that, but it's interesting to me to look. His delivery is completely different
than
what we saw yesterday. He is moving about twice as fast. And obviously you've got to move a little faster with the pitch clock. That's a new thing to adjust to. Man, he is absolutely moving. It's a little bit of a different arm slot, and it'll be something to kind of see, like, how does it work? And does it, like, give results? And he's so much faster to the plate. Like, you think that there'll be a little bit more pressure, but literally, looking at this, like, the videos and the screenshots of it, I mean, he's got the glove, like, on his old, like, windup, he's got the glove barely above his head, taking a rock towards the mound. In the same time frame now, he's already almost going to home plate with it. It's just kind of crazy to watch and see. And I don't know what to make of it. We saw him in a short stint, and I'd guess that this year we'll see him in short stints the rest of the year, just because he's coming back from Tommy John. But I do think that there's a reasonable buy-in window in Dynasty right now to at least see where it goes when we look at Walker Buehler, because we've seen him be ace caliber before, and there's reason to think he could bounce back to that level despite two surgeries. So it's a waiting game, wait and see, but I'm willing to take a chance on it and see, you know, what happens, because the results could pay off for you.
Yeah, and I think the perceived value is low enough now that I would be willing to take a shot on him too this offseason for sure.
All right, that is going to wrap us up, though. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out the DynastyDugout.com and ToolshedFantasy.com for more from each of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.